Inside on Business, the news hour is made possible with support of the Strudelhaus, the Metro's only authentic Austrian cafe, bakery, and wine bar, strudelhaus.com. And RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts, with offices across the greater Des Moines Metro. Find them at realestateconcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you have made the trip to find us and stay with us during this hour's broadcast. He's a returning visitor to the Business News Hour. His name is Peter Children. We traveled to Mason City, Iowa, to have this conversation. Peter has been in this business of, well, art, fine art, for some 60-plus years. We're going to talk about his business and about something called alternative investing. Peter, welcome back. Good to see you again, my friend.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Tell us a little bit about what is your business? What is it that you do?
Well, I've never been restrained by any one particular thing. I deal in marketing. I'm on the Jewelers Board of Trade. I manufacture jewelry in China, Swarovski, that we use in the premium business, incentives, and I publish religious art.
And you've been doing this for how long?
Well, I went in the art business in the 60s.
A long time.
Yeah.
A long time.
And I became acquainted with limited editions and the aftermarket, which is referred to as the secondary market after the primary market has been exhausted and sold out.
And we're going to give you some examples of that, ladies and gentlemen. But suffice to say, from what I understand, and I've known Peter, for full disclosure, I've known Peter for several years. Peter's no spring chicken. He'll be proud to tell you he's 83 years old, still works every single day in his business, which I think is remarkable. And what you do is you have, over the years, commissioned various artists to create works of art, and then you also help nonprofits, if I understand it correctly, use your products that you've created to incentivize gifts and also reward givers who are in the nonprofit sector. Would that be accurate?
Yes, that's right. And they use that art. Art is a living thing. It has a heart inside of it that continually beats. The artwork is used to raise funds for needy causes. One of the biggest clients, of course, are churches.
Mm-hmm.
And the Catholic Church in particular. It's been said that by the religious editor of the Chicago Tribune that Catholics buy 95% of all religious imagery sold.
How many Catholics are there?
70 million in America.
Wow.
And I know that to be true because that's the business I'm in. And I witness it every day firsthand.
When you're talking to people about incentivizing for gifts or rewarding individuals who give to these nonprofits, be they religious entities or not, what are some of the important things that agency or the nonprofit agency needs to understand? Is it high quality results in high return?
Well, there have been studies done that have proven that when you offer something, no matter how insignificant it may appear to be, the dollar amount of the contribution will increase quite a bit, as opposed to just asking for a donation. I get a lot of mail, you probably do too, where it says there's a series of check boxes, $10, $15, $20, $25, $30, and you check one of those and send a check. But if they were to offer you something, chances are you'd send more money than you would have.
Because there's perceived value beyond just the giving.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you can't trick the public. The public knows what's good and what's not good. And when you start to try to fool them, that's when you start to lose.
Hmm.
We deal in investment-grade art. And we did a series of featuring Pope Francis when he came to America. And we published an original oil painting into an edition of 1,000 prints signed and numbered. It's priced at $1,000 a print. It's by Cameron Smith, number one ranked Catholic artist in America. We put it in a small, obscure radio station in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. there isn't a lot of people living in South Dakota.
That's right, yeah.
And this whole station has a listening audience that would measure about half of the city of Des Moines. Yet in 72 hours, we sold 19 prints for $1,000 each.
So $19,000.
That tells us that the price was not an obstacle, that these people bought this print because it's an investment.
Well, it's not only an investment, but it's a rendition of someone that's revered by many people.
We have now, in my opinion, probably the most popular pope since Peter, the Apostle Peter, who founded the Vatican. He's Pope of the world. The Catholics no longer own this man. He set his own agenda, and he's, as you said, he's wildly popular.
Let's get into, so as we understand it, this is what you've done for years and years and years. The other day, you and I had a telephone conversation. We were talking about alternative investments, and you were sharing some amazing numbers relative to duck stamps and how all that tended to work. These are, for example, Maynard Reese did a duck stamp. This is for Ducks Unlimited, I believe it is?
The duck stamp program was instigated in 1934 during Roosevelt's presidency. And Ding Darling,
yes,
was credited with creating the first duck stamp. He was a great conservationist.
And this, the money raised by this was going into
conservation. Goes to preserve marshlands.
Right.
For migratory waterfowl. And in the 70s, the state of Iowa said, we don't have enough money for our migratory water program. We're going to issue our own stamp. Up to then, it had been a federal stamp that cost a dollar, and you had to have that in your wallet if you're going to hunt waterfowl.
Yes.
And California was number one, and Iowa followed. Maynard Reese was selected. There was no contest because he was a three-time federal duck stamp winner. And he painted a rendition of mallard ducks. And he his only remuneration on the state and federal level is a sheet of stamps from the Department of Interior. But the artist is entitled to print a limited edition series. And Reese printed 900 prints signed and numbered. I was running an art gallery then called European Fine Arts. And I had 21 people come in and sign up for that winning rendition of the Mallards by Maynard Reese. And I ordered one, so I ordered 22 prints. One guy didn't pick his up, which left me with two prints. The retail price on that issue was $60.
$60 at that time.
Right. And with 900 in the edition. I sold both the prints, the one I had and the one the guy never picked up, for $9,000 shortly, well, within span of 12 months.
Within 12 months?
Right. The demand for that print became so intense, it was a frenzy. And now, at this stage in the secondary market, the pricing is out of the hands of the dealers. It's being traded back and forth between people who own the print and people who want to own it and didn't avail themselves to it when it was first issued.
Sure.
So it slowly goes by increments and it starts to move up. And at the time I sold those two prints, the market, the going market, was $4,500 each. That's 75 times the market, the issuing price. Now, today, that same print, if you want to own it, it's slightly over $10,000.
One print, $10,000.
Right.
What originally cost $60 back in the 70s.
Right. And then when Minnesota came out, David Moss was the artist that had the winning design. I sold those in bundles of 100 for $100 each, or $10,000 for a bundle of prints. I was the largest single dealer in America in that Minnesota issue. Well, the price shot up to $1,000. So if you had the bundle, you had $100,000. You were 10 times your money. And some of my clients traded their prints in for 1 ounce gold Cougarans. Everybody, you know, had their own thing they wanted to do. But it's then we hit an economic downturn, and the prices started to decline. They dropped. But now they're back. It's like any stock. If you were buying General Motors or Apple Computer or Microsoft, it's going to have highs and lows.
Your thought is, and I find this very interesting, and you said something to me the other day that really precipitated this conversation, that in essence, when you get 1 and 2% on your money from the bank, that's
on a
thievery.
Certificate of deposit, I said it's thievery.
Yeah.
They might as well have a gun. When you work and save your money and you buy a $1,000 CD and you maybe, hopefully you got a lot of them stuck in the dresser drawer in the bedroom to help your grandchildren with college, but the bank's giving you 1 to 2%. That's an abomination when there are alternative markets. We just put together a religious relic, I'll call it, of the 12 apostles, and there's the transference, or the what's the word I want to use, the conveyance to deliver those coins is not in a coin case, it's in a hand-blown bowl, and it's called the Apostle Bowl. The coins themselves represent the only collection of its kind anywhere on earth.
Mm.
We've done exhaustive internet searches looking, and nothing is comparable. And then we put it around this bowl. The bowl is limited in its edition. We're going to have the coins in silver plate, and we have the capacity to make them in sterling silver, should you wish. But the silver edition will be 2,500 bowls, and it will sell for $1,200 a bowl. That's $100 a coin. And then we're going to do it in gold. And we're going to have 2,000 sets to commemorate 2,000 years of the Christian faith.
Amazing.
And it's going to sell for $2,000. Now, let's look at it comparatively to where the market's at. There's really only one market, and that's the Catholic market. And there's 70 million Catholics. So let's take 2,500 bowls and let's divide it by just 10 million. Let's take 60 million Catholics and have them wait out in the alley, and we'll bring them in later. So if you divide 10 million into 2,500, the odds are minuscule. I mean, they're infinitesimal. If you bring in another 50 million Catholics that have $1,200, then your chance of getting the bowl is reduced even further, to the point of zero.
Which makes the bowl more?
It'll go through the roof,
yeah,
on the secondary market, because the demand will continue. We purposely engineered it that way so that the buyer is rewarded for his purchase, and there's no telling where that price would end up. The trick is to be able to get the bowl.
Ah, to first get the bowl and then make that the investment.
Right. It would be better. You would be better off, in my opinion, and I've dealt in investment grade art for decades, to cash in your CDs and buy the bowl, because you'll make a lot more money. The bank is not lending money at 1 or 2% or 3 or 4%. They're getting a good rate of interest. The credit card companies like American Express charge 14.9%. If you're a day late, it's 30% on the balance. These people have no problem charging. They have a problem paying you what your money's worth.
So why not take that upon yourself?
Right.
I understand. His name, ladies and gentlemen, is Peter Children, and he is an 83-year-old art dealer, a constructor of art. We've been talking about his business and the secondary market. We'll have links to all of this information for you so you can see for yourself what Peter Children's talking about. Peter, thanks for spending some time with us.
I enjoyed it.
It always is a pleasure.
Thank
Good to
you.
See you, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye.